So, isn't God's creation amazing? Anyone know what the fifth word in the Bible is? No? Fifth word. In the beginning, God created. Created. The fifth word. It's all right. You're not far off, Steve. That's a couple of words later. Isn't that interesting? I find that interesting. Right at the beginning, the very start of the word of God, we're told what God's like. He creates. You have to take note of things that are there right at the beginning. That is the nature of God. He's a creator. He has created all of that, all of us, every little baby. how lovely we've got a baby here today. God created us. God the Father created the heavens and the earth. And it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This little bit at the beginning is about God. It is going to become very relevant to us in our lives. So bear with me. I'm making a point there. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. All right, Steve, light. It's early on. And there was light. And God goes on to create water, stars, fish, birds, animals, this backdrop for us. And this isn't a talk about evolution versus creation. Let's forget about all that for a minute. I think we all agree that somewhere or other God created us. Hopefully we do as Christians anyway. But the Spirit of God was there hovering over the waters. Did you hear that bit? So God the Father is there. The Spirit of God is there. Now, if you flip to that's Genesis. Remember this, the beginning of the Old Testament. If you flip to the Gospel of John in the New Testament, right at the beginning of John's Gospel, in the beginning. Does that sound familiar? We've just heard that, haven't we? In the beginning, the Word already existed. And by the Word, John is meaning Jesus. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. Everything. Nothing was created except through him. So, we have God the Father. We have the Holy Spirit hovering over the water. We have Jesus, the Word of God. They were all there at creation. Creation is in the nature right of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And Genesis goes on to say, God created human beings in his own image. Man and woman, he created them in his image. That doesn't mean that God's got two eyes and nose and ears and all the rest of it. We're created in his image. That's our nature. Our nature was created to be like God's nature. The New Testament says, as Christians, our ambition is to become more and more like Jesus. More and more like Jesus. More and more like God. So if God is creative, guess what he wants us to be? Creative. And that's my subject this morning, because I think creativity, particularly in the world, the non-Christian world, life, the universe, it's used as a bolt-on. Like, well, if you've got time to be creative, that's fine, but it's not that important. You know, it's more important that we earn money, we bring up our families, we live a life. Creativity, creating things is an optional extra. Okay, before I go any further, I want you to be honest, not just say what you think I want you to say, but what's in your heart. Who here would actually say, if someone said, are you very creative? Who here would say, yes, I'm creative? Who else? Who would admit it? Okay, that's really good. Lots of us. Okay, keep your hands up a minute. The few people I'm looking out for. Good, 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 good. That's really good. Actually, you're all creative. I can prove it. Betty, you can knit. That's creative. And maybe you can't now because of your hands, but you have knitted. You have been creative. That is something that you've created out of nothing. This church is busting with creativity. We are. There are examples in the Bible if you need further convincing. I love this one. It's really obscure. Exodus, the film Moses, Prince of Egypt, is a story from the Bible of Moses taking the Egyptians, the Israelites, out of Egypt, out of slavery. And before they get to Israel, they wander in the desert. And God knows they need to focus on him. So he thinks, you need to focus on me. So he gives them a cloud to lead them by night and a and a pillar of fire by night. He also says, you need somewhere where you can focus and meet me. So he said, why don't you make the tent of meeting? It's called the tabernacle. Now, God could have said to the Israelites, sling up a tent. They knew how to do that. Could have said it in one verse, sling up a tent. And yet in Exodus, there is chapter after chapter after chapter of what this tabernacle should look like and what it should be made of. And it has to be this, and it has to be that, and there has to be goat skins, and there has to be gold, silver, acacia wood, olive oil, spices, gemstones. And God is so detailed about it. Why? Because he's creative. Because he likes creating beautiful things, particularly in the place of his presence. So the women, it says, in Exodus 35... were skilled in sewing and spinning and prepared blue, purple and scarlet thread and linen cloth. And then later it says, Moses said, the Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel. Anyone heard of Bezalel? Not many of us. He's an everything smith, a goldsmith. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God. Giving him, what did he give him? Do you think he gave him a prophetic gift? No, he gave him wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. I find that interesting. The Spirit of God gave him expertise in crafts. He is a master craftsman. He's an expert in working with gold, like you said, Ian, silver and bronze. He is skilled in engraving. He is a master at every craft. And then God mentions a couple of other men, who together they would use their ability to teach their skills to others. They excel as craftsmen and as designers. Isn't that a little amazing little passage in the Old Testament? And that was all to do with the presence of God. If you move to the New Testament, there are examples of Jesus. What did Jesus do before he started his ministry? He was a carpenter, and that can be translated builder. And really, in those days, you didn't have such separate trades as a carpenter. I mean, you did have carpenters, specialist carpenters and stonemasons, but you also had most people could do a bit of everything, because if you're building a house, it's no good if you can just do the window frames. You have to build the house, and you have to know how they fit into the stone. And Jesus was a builder or a carpenter, whichever way you want it. Both are creative. And after he laid down his tools, in his parables, in his teaching, he was so creative. Someone said to him, oh, but what are you going to pay the tax to the Romans? So what, he didn't reach in his pocket and pull out his purse. He didn't say to his disciples, empty your pockets, chaps. No, he told someone to go and catch a fish. And it had a coin in it. And he used that to pay the tax. That is creative. He used creative solutions. He did creative miracles. He turned water into wine. When he was talking, he'd say, look at the lilies. Look at the flowers. Even Solomon was not beautifully dressed like these. Incredible. That's Jesus. He was very creative. And when he was telling stories, he would use pictures that people could identify, like the sheep that Chris mentioned earlier, that he said, if sheep hear their shepherd's voice, they follow. That is a really creative way of putting things. And he'd talk about houses being on a good foundation, because he was a builder. And he, you know, it's a picture that was hot in his head. So, moving on, I hope I've proved that the Bible and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are full of creativity. It's in their DNA. So, as we become Christians, God will bring that alive in us. He will. He should do. I think we'll just... I was going to brainstorm the next bit. I think I'll just put it up. What is creativity? I kind of think we know the answer to this. It's not just art and painting and drawing. Because I think sometimes when we say we're not creative, that's where our head goes. We think, I can't paint a painting. Don't have to. And what you create doesn't have to be a work of art, shall we say? I don't know if you can see the words of that: knitting, gardening, cooking, redecorating, designing, metalwork, carpentry, brickwork, poetry, music is a big one, pottery, dance. Yep, there's loads and loads and loads of things that's covered by that word creativity. And my challenge to us all this morning is that we bring creativity into our spiritual life. I'll unpack that. We bring creativity into our church, family life. Yes, into the building. Some people already do that. I mean, Chris is so creative. I mean, you only have to look at his clothes, but Chris is so creative. I mean, oh, my heart leapt the day I came in and saw that those red curtains, who remembers the red curtains at the front of the church? They were lovely. They were lovely. They were sort of burgundy, the colour of Louis' jumper, Ruth's trousers. They were that colour. They're lovely, but they've been up an awful long time. And when I walked in and they changed to this white, I just loved it. And it changes again. There's ribbons now. Never used to be ribbons. And the things used to be tied at the bottom and they're not untied apart from the purple one. I love it. It's creativity. And this creativity here, these posters, that is so simple. All Chris has done is taken a prophetic word that's been brought on a prayer meeting and found a picture that fits it, and put the two together. That is creativity. That is inspiring. That inspires me when I see those. What does creativity achieve? See, when I'm talking about creativity now, I'm moving on to talking about spiritual creativity, to give it a phrase I've just made up. I'm talking about creating in our walk with God intentionally. So not building a house, but intentionally making something that you're going to use in the kingdom of God, whether that is in your own personal life. God might tell you to write a book. Then he might tell you to publish a book. Oh, I was really scared when he said to me, publish your book. What? That's an awful lot of work, God. I published two now. God told me to do that. What does that achieve? Does that big me up? No. But it communicates the heart of God, hopefully, to people who read them. It is about communication. And when Sue mentioned her journal this morning, and I have a journal. I have lots of journals, actually. I think Sue does. And I started really small. A journal can sound a bit intimidating. All it is getting a notebook and writing down in it what God is saying to you. And that might just be a Bible verse. Sorry, Lord. It's not just. That might be a Bible verse. The Bible is the word of God. It's a word of God if you write down a Bible verse. Isn't that amazing? And then you might think, perhaps I'll draw a picture around that. Perhaps I'll doodle around the edges. That's how you get started. It's that simple. We're expressing. By doing that, we're expressing what God's spoken to us. We're expressing our hearts. Each little act of creativity reveals a piece of our soul, and it allows us to communicate our feelings, ideas, and experiences. Do you know, the world has clocked onto this. It always does. Whenever we have an amazing God-inspired idea, the world out there kind of sees it and thinks, maybe there's something in that. And they start these well-being courses. Who's heard of those in the workplace? Well-being in the workplace. And do you know what they do? They create things. They will encourage you to spend time colouring or making something, or not just that, other things as well. But they're kind of taking the gold we've got, and they're doing their best with it, bless them. But when you start doing it with the Holy Spirit, wow. It's about connection. There were some guys in this church here last week. I'm looking at you, Julie and Karen and Tony, who were in the kitchen. They were creating dinner. And you know, as they do that, they're connecting with one another. Because when you're chopping carrots next to someone who's peeling potatoes, you might say, how's your week been? How's your week been? I had this happen. Oh, really? Actually, you handled that really well. And you're connecting, you're communicating, you're encouraging one another over an act of creativity. It's as simple as that. We can share our stories and our joys and our struggles. And it's often easier to do that when your hands are occupied doing something. Because if you sit down and say, I need to talk to you, it can get a bit intense. But if you chat in as you're doing something together, somehow the words flow a bit more easily. You're more natural because you're doing something natural. We can share our joys and struggles. We can be reminded that we're not alone. This is a world that's fragmented. This is a world that is currently trying to trap us in our houses. Have you noticed that? You know, it started with COVID, and then thought, well, we'll go back to normal once COVID was over. We'll all work from home now. We'll homeschool our children. I mean, at some point, the world is trying to lock us in our houses. Let's not do that. Let's not go along with that. Let's be community. It's interesting. And creativity invites us into a community. There's so many creative groups out there if you start looking for them. And it also transforms. One way of being creative, you can get these Bibles now. And can you see there's stuff down the edges? All they've done is they've taken one of the verses. Like on the right it says, praise the name of the Lord. I haven't coloured any of those in. Not so much for my example. Okay, here's another one. It says, we live by believing and not by seeing on the right-hand side. All I've done is colour it in. Yeah, that's very juvenile. I'm colouring it in and I'm thinking, what's it say? We live by believing, not by seeing. Well, that's interesting because, God, I actually wanted to see this person become a Christian, or I wanted to see the provision over this area of my life, and it hasn't happened yet. What's it say? We live by believing, not by seeing. Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen it, actually. But actually, I do believe you want that to happen, Lord, so I'm going to keep praying for that to happen. And I'm starting to be transformed. It's building faith in my heart. I am not just being juvenile and colouring something in. I am building faith in my heart. And you don't have to have a special Bible with little birds down the edges of the pages to do this. You can get a notebook. You can write a Bible verse down. You can print it off your computer in outline and colour it in. There's loads of ways of doing it. That's just a really simple example. So what stops us? What stops us? Well, I think part of us think, yeah, life is so busy, I haven't got time to do that. I'm going to jump around a bit, Jonathan, so don't worry. I haven't got time to do that. You have, actually. You have, and I have. There's been times in my life I absolutely have not got time to do this, but actually you have. If you can make time to watch the television, you've got time to do this. Why do you sit and watch the news for half an hour? It's depressing. Why not just take 10 minutes, watch the headlines, and then take 10 minutes to do something creative with God? Write down a Bible verse. Decorate it. You know? And I've got so much craft stuff, I get a bit overwhelmed sometimes. I think, pfft. And God said to me at the beginning of the year, he said, use the edges. What do you mean, Lord? Use the edges of... edges? What do you mean? And God was kind of meaning the edges between doing things. So sometimes when I've finished watching the telly and about to go to bed, I might just drift up into the attic where I've got a little study, little desk, actually not study, a desk, and just do something for 5 minutes. Or I might do it between two other things. It's like using those moments between doing things when normally I just fritter away my time. Use those moments. It doesn't have to be an hour. It can be moments. So we've all got time. Fear of failure. Oh, can't do that. I can't paint. I can't do this. I can't do that. Do you know, children are naturally creative. You know, I walked in this morning and there's Linda's grandchildren colouring. Children don't have a problem with this. They just do it. They do it naturally because they've got the DNA of God. God created them. They've got his DNA. They might not be Christians but they've got his DNA because they're created in his image, so they're creative. It's natural to children. So at what point does that get shut down? Probably somewhere secondary school, I guess. Because primary school, you're encouraged to paint and play and do all this stuff, creative stuff. The minute you go to big school, right, you're going to put all that aside now. We're going to study maths and English and history and geography and science. This world loves science, particularly our Western world. Art is an optional extra. And someone's told us we can't draw, so that shuts us down. We can't paint or whatever it is. We get worried about failure, so we don't even start. Because it's not going to be good enough, is it? What I do is not going to be good enough. Do you know, God does not judge like that. When your child comes out of primary school and says, look what I've painted, you don't sort of say, well, it's not very realistic, is it? My face isn't that shape. It's not that big compared to my body. No, you say, oh, that's wonderful, and you stick it on the wall. That's what God does with our creations. He loves it when we get creative. So self-doubt sort of ties in with that. Next one, perfectionism also ties in with that. Why has it got to be perfect? It can be a glorious mess. God doesn't mind. Societal pressures. Does that say? Oh, yeah, I'm wasting my time. No, you're not wasting your time. You're not wasting your time. Not if you're communicating with God through it. Comparing with others who seem more gifted. That's a big one. And some people can seem or be more gifted. It's true. But that doesn't matter. You know, let's enjoy their gifts and let's not worry that ours might not be as good, because that's not how God sees it. And talking about collaboration, I mean, that picture on the wall over that purpley gold one, that was done by a group of young people working together in this church, and I bet they had oodles of fun doing it. Yes, there was someone very artistic directing the work, and she was just using her gift to encourage others to do it, and that's just beautiful. It's not about perfection, it's about expressing, it's about exploring, it's about practice. Sorry, I thought I turned the mic off then by accident. Look at the gifts around us. I just want to call a few people out here. The worship group, Steve, Emma, Sue, Beth, you are amazing, because Sunday mornings, you come up here, you lead the worship, you create something beautiful in our hearts, in our relationships with God. And I know you've all done it on days when you felt absolutely rubbish. You've had a rubbish week. See, that's the other thing that can stop us, is if we're feeling vulnerable. And yet they don't let that stop them. They carry on and they sing and they sing out, even when they're feeling vulnerable. That's a really brave thing to do. That is brave. Emma, you're really brave. I've told you that before, but I'm saying it out loud now. Reading a poem from the front is scary. I mean, I'm a writer and I find it scary. So goodness knows how you find it if you're not a writer and aren't doing it all the time. Let's encourage one another when we see each other doing things like this, because you need it. Because if you don't get any encouraging, you just think, oh, no one said anything. Perhaps it was rubbish. Perhaps I won't do that again. And you shut down. And no one's even said it was bad. It's your own head and the enemy and all this stuff. So, is this making sense? Good. So, let us not deny the gifts to us. You know, someone in this church, I've got to call you out, Linda. Your cakes are amazing. Do you know what she says back to me? I'm just following the recipe. How many times have I heard you say it to me and to others? No, you're not. Well, you are, but you start off with a pile of flour, a lump of butter, and some pile of sugar. And then there's these things on Facebook that look incredible that you've made, these cakes. And you give them away. Gosh, I mean, that is creative. Even if you're following a recipe, that is creative. And I would love that we start using our creative gifts and give things away. You know? I make cards. I give them away. I mean, I sell a few at work, but most of them I give away. And it blesses people. You know, people's birthdays are a wonderful opportunity to get creative and bless them. Absolutely hate the way the world... And this isn't knocking anyone who's done it, because I've done it. This is the way the world has reduced birthdays to a quick text. So easy, isn't it? Happy birthday. Yeah, I've done that one. You know, how about we spend a bit of thought thinking it's so-and-so's birthday. I wonder what they would like. Maybe I can only draw them a picture. Doesn't matter. Maybe I can only make them a card. Doesn't matter. Or buy them a card, but I'll pick the card that you think will speak to them. You know, why don't we go back to that? I mean, that was beautiful. That's something we've lost. And you're celebrating. You know, you're saying, I really love the fact that you came into the world on this day. That's worth celebrating, because you're worth celebrating. That's what birthdays should be about, you know? Not just, oh, gosh, it sounds as better, got to remember. Let's celebrate each other. Let's bring these gifts into the family. Let's give things to each other. Let's share. Okay, how do we... Encouragement to embrace, then, Jonathan, the next one. Where do I start? Yeah, how do you start, then? Okay, well, first you've got to reject that lie. How many people here have said, I haven't got a creative bone in my body? I've said that. Shocking. Shocking. See, Sue said that, and I've been in Sue's house, and it's full of art and all sorts of creative stuff. It's beautiful. you know, if we haven't said it, we might have thought it. It's just not true, folks. We've got to reject that to start off with. Then we've got to take time. I've mentioned time. You do need time. You need to set aside time. You've got time. You just need to set it aside. Okay? Why not collaborate? There might be opportunities to do this coming up. Well, for a start, there's an opportunity to collaborate in culinary creativity, like cooking, already. Or make opportunities, or look at the spring, what goes on. Are there any creative groups I can go on locally or in Lee Park, in the space there? Creating Spaces, I think it's called. Anne at the Acorn, I've done loads of craft over the years, haven't you, Anne? You're so creative. And not only is Anne creative, she's brilliant at drawing people in and saying, come and create with me, come and create with me, come and create with me. And then you're communicating and collaborating and you're encouraging each other and you're growing together. So why not collaborate? Share your talents. Yeah, said that. Yeah, share your talents. I also mean it's great if you, there are some things I do at home that no one ever sees, and that is fine. But it is good to share them. Create a space. I think you need to do this if you can. By create a space, I've got a desk in the study, in the loft, and that's my place. Didn't have that for a very long time. Wendy kept encouraging me to do it. Those of you who remember Wendy, knew you, Wendy. She was good at encouraging you to do things like that, wasn't she? Emma, Jonathan's got his study. He's got this, that, and the other. Where's your little spot? Where's your little spot? She kept on at me. And we went from, why don't you buy a summer house? And I'm thinking, well, because I won't go out there in the winter. That's why, Wendy. And we ended up with a compromise. We ended up with my own little table in a corner. And I tell you, my creativity has grown, hasn't it, Jonathan, since I've had that? But it doesn't have to be a table or a desk. It could be a shoebox. It could be a shoebox with a notebook and some pens in it. That's all you need. That's what your space is. And you write on the shoebox. Maybe you decorate the shoebox. My space. Space for me to create with God. You know, it's great if you've got a room. But not everyone has a spare room. Like Sue's amazing spare room. Not jealous. you do need a little space. Because that's saying, I intend to do this. I intend to do this. Surround yourself with inspiration. Maybe this should have gone higher up the list. You do need inspiration. And the best inspiration, by far, and I can see her eyes lighting up as I do this, Sylvia, is the Word of God. What an inspiration. There's so many things in there that can inspire you. Just the fact that God himself is speaking to you should be an inspiration. What's that? That's a little... okay. That's a picture of Jacob's ladder. Angels going up and down a ladder. Okay. Inspiration. Beauty. Nature. His nature. I mean, that video we saw. Someone wrote that song. And the guy who did the pictures, as far as I know, is not a Christian. Don't know if the photographer, any of the photographers are, but they don't think David Attenborough is. David Attenborough's film plus that song. Wow. Amazing. You know, nature can be inspiration that can inspire you to draw it. Why not have a go? Doesn't matter what it looks like. You actually might discover a gift you never knew you had. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Every single masterpiece in the world started with a single stroke over the paintbrush, over the canvas. And if nothing else, it can deepen our relationship with God. And that is so precious. If you find it hard to pray, I find it hard to sit still and just pray, if I'm honest. I've been a Christian a long time, but I do find that hard on days because I get distracted and sometimes you feel your prayers bouncing off the ceiling. Well, I do find if I'm doing something like this with my hands, I'm a bit more focused. And as I'm drawing, I might be talking to God. Do you know that's prayer? That is prayer, communicating with God. It doesn't have to be through words. It can be through actions. You can talk to God while you're gardening. Oh, and while I don't want to forget to drop this one. It's not just for women. It's for men too. That guy in the Old Testament, Bezalel, thank you. He's a bloke. Some blokes here are so creative. Remember Jonathan and his shields? this, which unfortunately gets a bit hidden behind the speaker. If you can't figure out the Bible, look at this. It's got all the books of the Bible in it. It will show you how they relate to each other. The oldest ones are at the top. The newest ones are at the bottom. I mean, he's not been coming along for a little while, but Dave Shaw, my goodness me. Those of you who've been around Dave's back garden, how creative is that man? He's built a pizza oven. It's incredible. And every time I go around there, there's an extension to the extension to the extension, and something else has popped up. And amazing, amazing creative guy. Steve is creative in his singing and his gardening. You know, let's share some of our gifts. Pardon? Yeah, marmalade making. Yeah, share your marmalade making with my husband. It'll bless him. Simon's another creative one, you know, with wood and his hands. It's just brilliant. Paul and his music. There's a lot of creativity, and we just need to not be afraid to share it. Mark Arnold, you see, he's done some of the backgrounds to some of the songs that go up, and he did them on his iPad. He didn't even paint them. He used iPad art. Brilliant. And he's so creative when he prophesies. You know, he's brought his gift into his prophetic gift, and he's put the two together. So he doesn't just come up to you and prophesy that God loves you. He will draw a heart and give it to you, and you've got something to take away. And that will remind you in the week when you might have forgotten what someone said on Sunday. That's the value of writing things down, by the way. You don't forget them quite as easily. I have these journals. I got loads. I think if I had to keep one, it would be this one, because these are things that God has said to me, and I've written them down. And then it's funny, because as I go on through the book, more and more they're getting illustrated. So perhaps I'll share one. I went for a walk along the sea, and I was just saying to God, moaning about something. I don't know what was going on. I can't remember. And I drew this picture. You probably can't see it. It's not very good. There's someone in purple and pink. Guess who? And there's a rock behind them. And I sat on this rock, and I was just looking out at the sea, moaning and moaning and moaning. And then I just felt God say, "Got your back, Emma." And I looked behind me, and there's this huge rock behind me. So that's what the rock is. And I actually drawn a bit of a head on the top of the rock, because I suddenly thought, yeah, he's behind me. He's got my back. I'm leaning into him. I'm physically leaning into him. And when I got home, I just did that sketch. And that reminds me, God's got my back. And that does something to me every time I see it. Well, I haven't even shown you that one, have I, Jonathan? Shown it to the whole church. What am I doing? Okay. So how do we start? And some of us do journals, you see, and we don't share our journals because they're very personal. And I'm not going to give this out to anyone to read. And it's not about my feelings. It's just things that God has said to me. But I thought, how about if we did a journal about God and everyone did a page? Wouldn't that be amazing? So I bought this little book. It's got a tag on it because I'm going to put names on that eventually. I've done the first page. Who is God to you at this time? What is he revealing to you? What are aspects of his character, his way, his words? That's just an idea to kick you off. I've done a page about his love, and I deliberately made it overlap the page because you can't find God, can you? You just got to overlap it. If anyone wants to do, it's not very big, so it's not too scary, just a double page. One person other than me has started it already because I said to them, what do you think of this idea? And they liked it and said, oh, can I do a page? So I said, yes. They've done the page. You don't have to be able to draw. You only have to be able to hold a pen and make a mark on it. You know, if you can't draw, this person has, I don't know if they can draw or not, but they've cut things out of a magazine and stuck them in. That's fine. You can do that. You can stick knitting in there. You can write in there. So come and see me at the end or text me if you want a go at this. The plan is that you have the book for a week, maximum a fortnight. Then you give it back so I can pass it on to the next person. And just put something about God. It can be really simple. And by the end of it, we'll have a book full of blessings. I don't know what we'll do with it. I will not leave it lying around at the back, so don't worry about that. I'll probably photograph it and put it on PowerPoint or something. So that's one idea we can share as church. And if you want to get together with someone, say, why don't you come around for coffee? We'll do a page each of that book. You can do that, or you can do it on your own. You can involve your children, though I would say, please, it's not a scribble book. if you see what I mean. Nothing against children. Paintings don't have to be perfect, as I said. You know what I'm talking about, hopefully. And then I have another book that I've done arty stuff in. And again, I've stuck that set of a magazine. I just stick things down sometimes because I'm not particularly good at drawing, and I'm not saying that to belittle myself. It's just true. But I can stick things, you see. That's something God told me to stick. You see all those? We are his treasure. It says in the Bible, you are treasure. And that is all the people in our church. They're treasure. We're treasure in his treasure box. You know, and I look at that and it encourages me. Because I don't always feel like treasure. Hey, there's just a few examples of what you can do with pen and... Sorry, I'm focusing on pen and paper and colour, and because that's what I do. But there's lots of other things you can do. I'm sure you can do things a lot bigger than I do them. But it's not about comparing, is it? See, I'm doing it. It's a default. It's a default to compare. Sorry, Lord. Okay. I was going to ask again at the end who here is creative and hope that every hand would go up now, but I won't do that. I'm just going to leave it there, I think. Yeah. There is a spark in each one of us, and I encourage you to ignite it. It all starts with a decision. That's what it starts with. You can decide to walk away and not do anything about this. Just say, oh, nice sermon, and not do anything. You young girls, you're so creative, you two. I remember you when you were in the children's group. You were so creative. Oh, I'd love to see what you get up to with God. Let's ignite that spark. Let's let it shine in our lives. Lord, I pray we would celebrate the creativity that you've put within us. Help us, Lord, to recognize it as a gift from you that is meant to be shared and cultivated. Help us to honor you with it. Lord, the world has turned art into something yucky half the time. Let us commit to creating beautifully. And not being afraid to express our unique gifts. Help us to connect with one another. Transform. Transformative ways, Lord. Amen.